We're talking with Mark Kaufman, who's in town for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's going to be up at Shea's, but only 9 shows through Saturday, September 29th.
Hi, Peter.
Mark, where are you?
How are you? I am at the Shea's Theater in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
I'm watching rehearsal. I'm upstairs in one of the rooms because I left rehearsal to talk to you, but I was just watching them do some tweaks to Candyman. It was very exciting.
Mark, can you describe what's your title and what exactly do you do? And I've got a follow-up question regardless of how you answer that.
Sure. My title is I'm the Executive VP of Theater Ventures at Warner Brothers. I guess my daily job is going through our catalog and looking for titles for titles from the catalog that feel like it's appropriate to turn into stage properties. Movies appropriate for the stage. Bugs Bunny, DC characters, various things from the Warner catalog that translate to theater.
Wow. Warner is huge. that sounds like a dream job, except you're probably a little overwhelmed. I don't know.
No, well, you know, it's funny because not everything belongs on stage. So while there's an incredible array of amazing material, there are some things that scream to be turned to stage shows, and there are some things that feel like you don't want to touch. You know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory feels like an obvious show because the movie itself is already a musical. But then we also are doing things like A Star Is Born and Beetlejuice and Dave, the Kevin Kline movie where he pretends to be the president, which might not feel like the obvious, but actually translates very nicely into a wonderful romantic comedy.
Well, I'm fascinated by what you're saying because I recently heard an interview with Andrew Lloyd Webber, and he said, You think that something won't work, but what do we know? And he cited, you know, let's talk about Hamilton. Can you imagine pitching that and getting stared? What? Or Come From Away. Oh, all these people land in Gander where no one's ever heard of. He said, but it works. These things work. So I really have to push back. What's your magic? How do you do that?
You know, I wish I'd say I knew exactly where the magic came from, but it sort of just feels like, for me, I look for what feels like it sings organically. For me, I look for things that feel like music adds something to the story. If you're just shoehorning numbers in there for no reason other than to get people to dance, that's probably not the right property to put music to. If it's something where the character's inner thought through a song furthers the plot, then that's the way to go. I mean, what we do also is we're not looking to do a souvenir of the movie on stage. We're looking for a companion piece. We're looking to see how the music can turn into something else that complements the original property.
And when you're looking at movies, are you sort of already thinking of who might be a great lyricist or a songwriter or a team? Is that sort of percolating in the back of your mind?
They are. I mean, there's always like, oh, wow, I think like, oh, I hear Andrew Lloyd Webber. This would be a great score. You know, this would be a great movie for him to do the score for, or Alan Menken. You know, it's funny. You mentioned before something like, oh, you know, something you wouldn't expect to be a great musical. I'll never forget when I heard about Little Shop of Horrors.
Right.
And I said, wow, I remember that Corman movie, you know, when I used to watch it on The Late Show. And then I went to see the musical and I was blown away. So it's really, it's wonderful when somebody comes in with a creative vision. So it goes back to the question you just asked. Do you imagine, you know, connecting somebody in mind? You know, it's tough to, you know, off the top of your head say, oh, that's the right guy or that's the wrong guy, because a lot of the people we're dealing with are so talented that they have such an array of skills that they could write a pop score. And like right now I'm dealing with Tom Kitt, and he's written a score for Dave, which is a traditional romantic comedy to me. And it's very different than his other scores, and it's wonderful. Then you have people like Shaman and Whitman, who wrote Hairspray, which is probably my favorite score out there. And they came in here and wrote these wonderful songs to complement the Leslie Bricus, Anthony Ely song for Charlie, and they sit so nicely together in my mind. So it just sort of, it sort of comes out of it. I don't know that I said, oh, my God, these are the right guys for it. I think that they came in. They had a point of view on it. The point of view matched the point of view for the property and for the way we wanted to see the show, you know, the direction we wanted to see the show going. and it became, you know, one piece.
People are using a word as a verb, and that word is tech. And they're saying, oh, well, Charlie is teching in Buffalo. You know, it's the third show that teched here at Shays.
Yep.
So tell our audience, what does that mean exactly, to tech a show?
Tech the show is really to be putting the show together. It's where all the elements sort of meet at one point in my mind. So when you put you have a script, you have lighting, you have a set, you have an orchestra, you have a cast. It's where all those elements meet as one. And you start at the beginning of the show, or in this case, we actually started it with Act 2 of Charlie, because it's the more complicated of the two acts because you're in the factory. And you actually work through the show and do each scene several times. It's almost like when you're doing a film, when you're shooting the same thing over and over again to get it right. You're doing a piece by piece of the show in order to match the music to the lighting, to the scenery entrance, to the cast entrance, and you're bringing these people together. So tech is really just the meeting of all the elements.
And it could be a show that had a career on Broadway, but when you tech it, you're getting it ready to go on the road nationally.
Correct. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's shows that sort of look one way on Broadway. You know, they're usually rethought when they go on the road one way or another, whether it's to create a smaller version, a traveling version, if something is, you know, is needs to be more mobile. So it's everything has to be rechecked. Even the perfect Broadway show, which feels like, oh, I could see that in any theater, still needs to fit into any theater. And every theater doesn't have the same configuration. So you're checking it to make sure that you're able to make it malleable.
Now, I have a question about the talent on stage. When we see shows come to Shays, they might not be marquee Broadway stars, but if you look through their credits, I mean, they're serious, serious young people. And man, the moves, the voices, I call it Broadway magic. Is there a more professional term? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's just...
I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, my God. Because we have so many, you know, we have so many talented people out there. You know, there's an amazing pool of talent out there. And you want to, you know, it's tough to discriminate one from the other. You know, these people want to be working. They get along great. You know, it's a very small community, a lot of people, small community. Everybody tries to get along. Everybody helps one another. It's really nice to see these people patting each other on the back. And, you know, they also, oh, I heard this one has an audition. You should go audition. I've seen a lot of people help other people. And it's kind of wonderful. It's a wonderful community to be a part of.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I've mentioned this in other interviews, but I'll never forget talking to a young singer dancer. And he said, when you go for that audition and then they do a little background check on you, he said, they know you can sing. They know you can dance. You wouldn't have gotten this far if you couldn't. What they were interested in is, what kind of person are you? Because you're going to be on the road together for a long time. And character counts.
100%. You want to be a good company, you know, you want to be a good company member. That's really important. It's funny because our understudy for, there's a wonderful actor who you probably don't know named Jared Bradshaw, who was in our Charlie on Broadway. And he actually understudied Wonka. This summer, he came in for audition on Dave. And I said to Tina Landau, our director of Dave, when she said, oh, he's very good, I said, he's a wonderful company man. I said, he was a joy to have in. She said, you've said enough. And we hired him.
Great, great story.
It does pay to be nice. It does pay to be a good member. And I have to say, to be completely frank, I've been blessed with great companies on my shows. It's a treat because it really creates a wonderful experience when everybody gets along.
And my final question is, it's on the topic of scalpers. And I know Shays is doing everything it can to make sure that when you have a ticket, it's a real ticket. And what they've told people is either go through Ticketmaster.com or come to our Shays box office.
I would tell everybody to go there first because, look, we're trying to fill a theater. We're trying to entertain the city. I can't tell you how amazing this city has been to us since we've been here during this tech period and tonight for the first performance. And I want everybody to be able to see the show, and I want them to see it the right way. So I feel like everybody should go the route of the box office first. That's what I always did, and I still do, even when I have to get tickets for shows that aren't mine. So I avoid scalpers, and I try to buy them the regular route. And but I don't really know of any problem here. And I'm you know, somebody who's a traditional guy who would actually walks up to the box office to get his tickets these days.
Great.
We're really excited. This has been a wonderful experience for us coming to Buffalo, to Shays. This theater, I mean, I came here for the announcement in March, and I was really blown away by literally the theater itself and how gorgeous it is. And just like, it's an honor to be here in a theater like this. I was kind of blown away by the way it looks. And to put on the show for the first time here and for this audience and the reaction that we've gotten from Buffalo to Charlie, we obviously have a song that's going to be sung for the very first time to an audience in our show that wasn't in London, New York, that's going to premiere tonight. And to me, that's like a theater, you know, theater geek dream. This is like heaven for me, for an audience to actually hear for the very first time a song that another audience hasn't heard yet. So I'm kind of excited to be here. I really appreciate everything everybody at Shea and Buffalo has been doing for us and how they've really welcomed Charlie with open arms. And I'm just excited to tour the country and show everybody our version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, Mark Kaufman, thank you so much for chatting with us. Congratulations. Break a leg. Have a great national tour.
Well, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to further conversation.
For WNED WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.